Hi, and welcome to the Palliators Podcast. I'm your host, Hospice and Palliative Medicine Fellow, Dr. Tara Katin. This podcast is for healthcare professionals who want to become more comfortable and confident in caring for chronically ill and terminally ill patients. With the help of the fellows who work alongside me in Columbia, South Carolina, we hope to educate and promote palliative care one podcast at a time. We're so glad to have you here. Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming back for the second part of Both Sides of the Stethoscope, our interview with Suzanne, who was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer about 3.5 years ago and is now on hospice. We took a break when she had visitors, and the second part of the interview was recorded about a week after the first. Let me remind you that it's important to her that you know that she has multiple brain mets and they impair her word finding and enunciation.
At some point, you move from trying to live as long as you can to living as well as you can. Is that right?
Yes.
What do you think the turning point was for you?
When the second treatment didn't work, and I could see, well, it was a second and third treatment wouldn't work, and I can see myself going down. You know, I could tell that I was getting weak and some things I couldn't do anymore. And so I said, you know, if this doesn't work this time, I'm quitting, calling in it quits, because I want to have quality of life and do things, not sit around in a bed, you know. So that was a turning point.
So is that when you were diagnosed with the partial small bowel obstruction?
Certainly after that. There was about 2 months that I started to look at it, at what was going on and how I was doing. Then with the blockage, I said, that's it, no more. And this is my chance to go out in glory.
That reminds me, you told me yesterday that people walk in your room and say something to you along the lines of,
you look great today. And that's kind of funny, you know. I'm dying, and I expect to say, you know, something else, but I hear, you look great. So what does that mean?
What do you think it means?
Well, yeah. I think they think is positive to, you know, you could look better, you could look worse, or you had better days. I don't know.
If you think I look great now, you should have seen me 2 years ago.
Right. because I kind of, at this point, I want to say, them to say, you're looking closer or something. Like, I'm ready to go. So, you know.
You're ready to go.
I am, yeah. And I want to look like I'm ready to go. You know, I don't want to prolong things. But,
Well, don't you want to look good while you're going?
Well, that's true. That's true. So I'll take that as a compliment, but
And I don't mean to sound irreverent, you know, before I've said that between the two of us, there's really nothing off the table, that we're very close.
It's just a kind of humorous to think about things that people do, and, you know, it's funny.
So what do you think is something that people should not say to you?
You did great. No, I'm kidding. I don't cover up things. Don't try to make it look better than it is. You know, be truthful. And like our mothers say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say it. You know, just, you know, I'm glad to see you today. That's good. And, I don't know, just be positive, but truthful, too, you know.
What do you think about people asking you if you need something? Or what can they do for you? Is that okay? Would you rather that they say something different?
I think they mean it. They mean that sincerely, that they'll do anything. But when you're sick and like this, it's not always hard to say, oh yeah, well, go do this for me. Maybe offer things, you know, I will bring a thing tomorrow for you. You know, I'll pick up a book up, or I will bring flowers, or
something, you know. Specific. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Offer you something specific and let you say yes or no.
Yeah.
Would you say yes or no? Would you say no?
I would, because I think I would, because there are things I can't do. Or
like if I said, do you want me to pick you up a bucket of fried chicken on the way over?
I would say no, thank you. If they know me at all, they know that I like flowers and, you know, maybe a magazine or something. Go ahead and do that. Or say, I'm going to ride by your house tomorrow and check on your house. Or I'm going to call some of your friends that know might not know how you're doing. You know, so back to the question, I do think they are trying to help, but I think offering something is better to, you know.
Something specific.
Yeah.
Now, I want to add here that we are in your house, in your home, and they may have heard the doorbell just now and your dog's barking in the background. It just goes to show you how personal this really is. I mean, you want to be here in your own home, right?
Right, definitely.
And some people don't. It's kind of an important thing to know about somebody. And you've been taking care of people in their own homes for years.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean to you to be in your own home while you're facing the end of your life, or living the end of your life?
Because you're going to have your own schedule, and your caregivers can have their own schedules, and you're surrounded by your personal effects, and it's just so natural, better, not so hard than been in a hospital. It makes a difference.
You don't have to have the hospital rules either. You can
right
do things the way you want to do them.
Right. And like I said, even though your family and fans are taking care of you, it's much better to work around your schedules when you are at home.
When you got this final determination of your prognosis, when they were sending you home, or when you got that diagnosis, is there something that you thought you needed to do, or are there things that you feel like you needed to do to complete the task that you're here for?
Well, I pretty much thought my affairs were in order, but I was anxious to get home and double check that. And then now here I am, 3 weeks later, and I'm still here, and I was wondering why.
When you say why, what do you mean?
Why I'm still living, because I was ready to go, and but it's interesting, all the visitors and that have come and called me, they have had time with them, not just me, but with them, where they can mend things, between them, and get caught up with each other. So it's created a avenue for my loved ones, for them, not just for me, for them. So you never know what your purpose is here. And you shouldn't question, I guess. There is a reason for everything that happens. So
I have to make a comment on that. You hardly ever get emotional when you're talking about yourself. The only times I've really seen you get emotional is when you're talking about the relationships between the people that you love. And that means something to you. And, you're still here, and it still makes a difference to everybody else.
I hope. I never want to be a burden. So, but there's a bright side to everything. So,
and that's who you are, Suzanne, if I may say that. I've known you for 2 decades, and that's part of who you are. You're a bright side of the situation kind of person.
Well, I hope so. would hate to be the dark side.
Well, you have taught me, you were doing hospice long before I was, and you've taught me a lot over the years. And some of the things you've taught me have had nothing to do with work. And one of my favorite things to say about you is that you never look at things and say, well, oh, we can't do that. When somebody asks something of you, the first thing you say is, how can we make that happen? And you know I've said that to you before. I've said that when we've done public speaking together. But that's something I've always admired about you. Your very calm presence.
Well, everyone should try to make a positive experience then in this world for them and around the people around them. All we can do is try, and it makes a better world. So I have enjoyed our work and our friendship all these years, all between us, and I think you do a excellent job of improving people's lives around you. And we have been a good team.
We have been a good team. I love you, Suzanne.
I love you too.
This completed our final interview. Suzanne died about a week and a half later. She had family and friends at her bedside and was lucid until she closed her eyes for the final time. I hope that you've gained something from listening to her approach to living intentionally and facing her dying and death honestly and courageously. As usual, I want to provide a reflection, and this time it is from my friend Suzanne. She planned her memorial service herself, right down to the program, where she said this: I found my purpose by trying to have a positive impact on family, friends, and coworkers throughout my life. I know all of you have made my life richer in so many ways. Thank you, and be good to each other. And I thank you for listening to the Palliators podcast. I hope you will come back next time. Until then, bye for now.